Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, to another episode of Dubwise Talk. I am Jude Adara, your host, and I am so pleased to bring forth today a very powerful, very strong sister who was growing by leaps and bounds. We are pleased to have her on with us today. But before we bring the sister on, we're going to hear this message from Unan Imports.
Greetings, Aquava. Unan Imports. Unan Imports. Unan Imports. They are located at 6971 North Sheridan Road, Chicago, Illinois, 60626. This two-room garden level shop specializes in arts and crafts, body care products, and clothing, mostly from Kenya and West and Central Africa. They also specialize in authentic hand-carved wood masks that have the spirit infused in them, alongside the bags made of kente cloth and knit Rastafarian tapestry carved wood jewelry. The body products include several kinds of pure, unrefined shea butter, as well as black soap made from the ashes of leaves, bark, and cocoa pods, mixed with shea butter or palm oil, then cured, which is noted for its deep cleansing properties. Aside from that, Unan Imports exudes an ambiance that is one to remember. Do yourself a favor. Take some time and go over to Unan Imports, located at 6971 North Sheridan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60626, and see who I call Doc, Brother Al Unan. You'll be glad you did.
Greetings, and we are black. We are black with the very powerful and very spiritually minded sister. Her name is Tamika Powell. She is an inspiration to many around the world, and her vision is growing right before our eyes. And I would like to present her to you at this time. Let's receive Tamika with a great big yay. Potep, beloved, how are you?
Hello.
Greetings, Hotep, beloved. How are you?
Greetings, love. How are you? Give me one second, okay?
Surely. We are here in Chicago. The day is bright and sunny, and the temperature is about 60 degrees, and no one has gotten shot today that I know of, so it's a peaceful day. I am sitting here in my dining room, and I'm having me some raw cashews while preparing for this show. And I'm going to have a glass of lemon water a little bit later. And I just like to express how happy and how blessed I am the Most High for blessing me and for looking out for me and all my loved ones. While we were waiting on Sister Tamika, I like to say that I met her on Facebook, and when I met her, she was into a realm of indecision. Are you there now, beloved?
I am here now, love.
Greetings. Hotep, sister. How are you again?
Yes. Oh, we are wonderfully well. Just finishing up a late article. Great.
That's great, sister. That's great. So let me ask you, let's just dig right in. Tamika, where were you born, beloved?
I was born in Southwest Florida, a small town called Pahokee, Florida.
Nice sunshine. That explains your sunshiny disposition.
Sunshine, blue skies. Yes. Beautiful.
And how long did you stay there?
I lived there for most of my younger life. I moved to Georgia when I was 19 years old.
Okay.
So I've been in Atlanta for 7.5 years, and pretty much years prior to that, I lived in South Florida.
So let's talk about your childhood. While growing up in South Florida, you can decline to answer any question, but we want to know what is behind the scenes of this magnificent artist. So I'll just proceed, and you can always say I declined on grounds of incrimination.
Okay. All righty. I plead the fifth. We'll just leave it at that. Woo! I like that, though. We do like options. Yes, we love our beauty of free will and the lovely choice mechanism. So I myself, yes, I grew up in South Florida, Pahokee, Florida. very urbanized, I guess, environment. Not the best in education, job market, but it is highly agriculture. We produce about 60% of the U.S. population of sugarcane. So we get just a lot of traffic dealing in the agriculture area, the USDA area, for people all over the globe for that. And our soil is black. We call it muck. So with that, it's very pure, highly in nutrients, and any time of the year, all year round, we're one of the minimum places or the least place where we're able to grow food all year round. So we don't ever have a cold time or any sort of drought or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We're located right off of Lake Okeechobee and surrounded by lots of ocean. So, but coming up in a small town, I was youngest of four. Three of us was raised together. I attended Catherine E. Cunningham Connell Point Elementary School, and dance has always been a part of my life since I can remember. I've always been pretty much the red sheep. I wouldn't call it black. I was always one of the lighter ones of my family. I was told that my dad was the milkman or the cable guy because I always looked so different from my peers, not even my peers, but even my elder siblings and other family members. And my grandmother had 14 children.
Oh, boy.
So I was always the little red sheep of the family, and now I embrace it so much more, I'll say that.
and
I know why.
Good thanks. I was going to say that the rest of the world joined you in celebrating your redness.
Oh, yes.
So how
so
did
now
it impact-
I live in Atlanta, Georgia, red clay.
Yeah, the red again.
Tell
us, while you were there, how did that difference in your hue affect you? And then I'll tell you my experience with that as well.
Well, it affected me in a way because I didn't know why I was different. I grew up in a single mother household, so it's not as if I had anyone or a male figure to compare to say, my dad is such and such. But it was very clear that obviously my dad didn't look like many of the people who were in my neighborhood or in my surroundings. So it was a little odd in that way. But the biggest transformation, I have a train passing, so I hope it's not too much. But when I was 12 years old, from the ages of about 12 to 14 years old, I had the opportunity to move to Atlanta, Georgia during my middle school years, those few teen years, and to be able to see a lot more expansive world, different school settings. It was the first time I ever seen such a high populace of Caucasian people. Because where I'm from, it's probably, I would say, 90% populated blacks, a very small percentage of Asians. I take that back. We have a high population of Hispanics as well, too. But it's definitely predominantly black, and even the Hispanics in that area, they have more of a black swag, if I must say. But very, very few Caucasians. There's like spots. So as I was 12, 13, 14 years old, moving to a Georgia, moving to a very, what they call a country town, I got to experience, have my firsthand experience of racism. Mm-hmm. Or any sort of discrimination from whites, or learning that there's a difference in us, in a sense. But I was ridiculed even more so here because of the way that I spoke. I spoke very ghetto, according to them, or very country. I used to say things like screet and bike and foe. So the grammatical context of my background from Pahokee, Florida, carried over. And that caused me, I think, a lot more pain than even just coming up in my early childhood with my siblings of being the red sheep. But here we are now, you know, we overcome all of that. Appreciate all locks, all races, oneness, and my grammatical context hasn't been an issue for quite some time, I'll say. So I now get to teach people foreign languages. I'll say that too.
Oh, talk about that. What languages do you speak?
Yo hablo español. Español es mi lengua segundo. So Spanish is my second language.
Oh, I thought that was Swedish. All right, go on.
It is Spanish. And I've been speaking Spanish for about 13 years now, 12, 13 years. I've been studying it. I wouldn't say I'm fluent. Most people do, because I always feel there's so much more to learn. But I do love it. And because of my background and my environment, with it being highly populated in the Spanish community as well, I was able to gain a better appreciation for it, for their heritage and for their culture, and you know, bring it together with my Afrocentric.
That is pretty interesting, because most of us here, most Africans here, we are aware of the Spanish around us, but we don't dive into trying to learn it. And I don't know if that is good for us or bad for us. But I don't see the Chinese trying to learn Spanish neither.
But they are learning English.
Yeah, but they're not learning Spanish.
See, but English, they also learn their own dialect.
Yes, but they're not learning Spanish. And in this country, it has become more important for us to pay attention to our Spanish-speaking sisters and brothers in this country. And I hold nothing against them, but I'm trying to figure out, why are we focusing on them? That we got many languages here we can learn. Why don't we just learn all of them and be very educated? But no. We want to learn Spanish as a second language. And I was looking at a sport program last night, and normally it's in English, and they had it in Spanish, and they had subtitles under it. It was just a regular sport talk show. So to me, it seems like they are encroaching upon our normal way of progressing. I have nothing against them, but I am just questioning some of our focus points. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with the lovely and the talented and the most beautiful sister. Her name is Tamika Powell, and the most powerful and attention-getting, and we will talk about that shortly. But let's get back with you, Tamika. When did you feel that it was necessary to begin to reflect on your life through writing?
Good question. Back in 2008, I had a near-death experience from just living a reckless lifestyle, early 20s, experimenting with recreational drugs, and kind of overdid it. And upon returning to this beautiful life force, I realized that I wanted to make my life a lot more meaningful. I wanted to live in purpose. I wanted to leave something behind for my son, for my family members, and I also wanted to have more children. I wasn't ready for it to be over with. So I began taking life a lot more serious thereafter, and I still felt that I hadn't lived much. I felt like I haven't had any experiences, you know, young in my 20s, going to college, working, but not really experiencing life, people in different cultures, or even so much as partying and clubbing as what most deem normal for young 20-year-olds to do, because I was more focused on parenting and mothering and just really appreciating the time with my son and just motherhood and family bonding, and just really I didn't feel that most of those things were important. But going on, fast forward a little bit, back in 2010, 2011, I wanted to change that. I wanted to add a little more pizzazz to my life. So I began just really just exploring life, just different cities, different people, different backgrounds, different cultures, different philosophies, different religions, different sects, different schools of thought. And through it all, I learned so much more about myself, but I still felt that I wasn't given my all, or I wasn't doing my best, or my life still wasn't as meaningful and fulfilling as I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I need to do something to share my pain, because I have limitations. I do have restrictions. I realized that I had some traumas that I needed to deal with and just release myself of. And a lot of them were being from a single mother background, welfare recipient. And still to this day, my mom don't have the things in place to leave behind for certain generational wealth or even generational well-being. So I was like, wow, well, can I really do it? You know, I don't have the strong support system, but I knew I wanted different for my son and for my future children to come into. So I decided I was just going to face my fears. Not only was I going to face my fears, but I was going to do it with power, with confidence, and not care what anyone else has to think, and to go forward and to just continuously building and helping other people to also find that same courage, that same tenacity to go forward regardless of what. So, you know, here we are. It projected into many different areas. So, but that's the overall basis.
One of your expressions is dance. Talk about that for a minute.
Well, dance is my dear primary expression.
You are magnificent.
My love. I have been dancing since I've come out of the womb. I can remember as a young girl, you know, dancing at parties. The parents, the adults used to place bets on me and different things like that, because I really just enjoyed dance. Like when I dance, I felt, feel even still now, just, you know, a sense of liberation. I can disappear and move just so fluid, like the water. And I do notice, and I have noticed over time, that I don't like choreography. It's not my specialty. It's not my area of expertise. It's not the type of dance that I find amusing, nor do I have fun with it. So when the music starts, my feet start moving. Feet start moving, body start moving, hands start moving, neck start twirling. And it's just a freedom. It's a freedom of expression. And I have so much more fun that way, and it comes off. So the people who are seeing it or witness it, they're being entertained energetically. They're being healed. Yes. I'm being healed. I'm being able to express myself. They're being able to see a different form of expression, a different type of dance. And it's liberating for everyone involved. So, yes, I love this.
Yes.
Love, love, love it. I have a few things coming up also in the Atlanta area to begin instructing a lot more. So I'm very excited, very, very excited.
Now, when you just said you want to begin instructing and even do it more, I felt a chill, because that is what I see you doing. I see you instructing our youth in the proper way, and the way of dance that not only gratifies but edifies. And when I look at our African dancers, back in the villages, not in the streets, sometimes in the streets, sometimes in the city, but mainly in the villages, I'll send you a link to one of them.
Okay.
And these brothers and sisters get down for the crown. I'll tell you, even the toddlers, if they can stand, they're dancing. They have the elders. Amazing what they do. You know, and that's what keeps us young. You know, when I was growing up, everybody, there was always a national dance, the roach, the pony, the horse. It was always a national dance from coast to coast. I don't know how it would spread, because we didn't have Soul Train and we didn't have American Bandstand for black people. That was all white. But somehow we across the nation was all doing the roach. We were all doing the twist. And those days are gone. And when I look at those old videos of Soul Train, everybody was slim like you. There were no fat people. They were all slim and trim like you. You know, even the older ones. They were, you take a look at Soul Train from the 70s and the 60s. By the time we got to the 80s, they were slim, but they were slim off of Coke. And by the time we got in the 90s, they got just sloppy, you know. But the heyday was the 60s and the 70s when they were all slim with those giant afros. And everybody was fluid and moving. Nobody was thick and no one was sick. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dubwise Talk. And I am Judah Arau, your host. And we are brought to you by Lalibela's Ethiopian Restaurant. It is a fine dining Ethiopian restaurant located in Chicago on the 5633 North Ashland. And for the finest in Ethiopian cuisine, for the finest in decorum, for the finest in service, do yourself a favor and go by and visit Samson, the host, and his lovely wife, Peru, the master chef. Together they make a formidable couple and a most delightful experience that you'll never forget. That is Lalibela's, Lalibela's at 5633 North Ashland. And we are brought to you by Popcorn Haven. Popcorn Haven located on the southwest side of Chicago. And they have a parking right in front. And Popcorn Haven has over 500 flavors. That's right, 500 flavors of popcorn.
My.
So when you come to Chicago, go by Popcorn Haven and visit Brian Stallworth. He's my oldest son, and he's expanding, and we're trying to contemplate moving to Africa. So we are blank. We are blank with Sister Tamika. Now let's talk about your book, beloved.
Mm-hmm.
How did you do this? Talk about the process.
The process came about having a sister circle with some women that are tantra educators, and I was in a state of surrendering and just really wanting to get to the depths of who I was and to really see what was holding me back. So in the midst of this sister circle, we were sharing our traumas, sharing our sexual traumas. Most women have had some sort of rape experience. And as I was listening to two other women share their experience so openly and so candidly, I was, you know, I felt moved to like, well, this is the time, you know, like they won't judge me. They won't think I'm crazy or ask me all these questions to make me seem as if it was all my fault. So I shared, and I felt so much better. When I'm telling you, talking about boulders lifting, it was amazing. And for those of you who aren't familiar, the book is titled, my first book is titled, I Married My Rapist, So What? And it's based on a true story. And the book was able to, I didn't really focus on the act of the rape, but I did focus on the mindset that led me to make the decision to say yes to the man who raped me 2 years prior, even though I know I didn't want to. I know I didn't want to be there, and I knew it would be temporary, but because of other life situations and past, you know, programming and just this whole little notion of forgiveness, I was like, well, maybe I should give it a try. And then I thought, well, maybe I can get my voice back. I can actually confront him. Needless to say, it never happened, and I was upset with myself even still, but I was like, you know what, that's okay. I'm going to release this. I'm just tired of holding it down, tired of allowing it to hold me down. So I wrote about it in the book, titled it, I Married My Rapist, So What? And again, like I said, the book focuses more on me sharing the experience that I went through to overcome being in a victimized mindset. Some of the things I started doing, taking up yoga, just dancing, just really just gaining back a control of my life once I decided to release from the energy that didn't serve my highest good or from the person who had brought me so much pain and shame and guilt. And, you know, I just feel that so many other women have a similar story. And the book gives each reader the opportunity to begin writing their story, regardless of what it is. But to be able to make a plan, execute the plan, and then be able to share it with other people and hope that it heals and transform their mind and their well-being also. So that's what the book has provided for me, just another outlet of healing and sharing and another, you know, example of liberation. And to show that I would never make a mistake like that again.
That is a very powerful, it's a very powerful notion. And I trust that this message gets out to all the young people who are contemplating bad choices. And I think we're talking about making wise choices. At this time, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back after this song, Streetlights by Brother Mark Terrence. I believe you're going to like this.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all know anybody? You used to have to be in the house before the streetlights come on. Yeah. But it's about that cat. And this is his song.
Brother Mark Terrence Tate with the Streetlights. How are you, beloved? How are you doing today again?
Yeah.
Did you like that one, sister?
I did. Get in for the street lights.
Yeah, got to beat the sun before the street lights come on. That's how it was when we were growing up. We grew up in the projects. And my mother didn't even have to scream out there at us. We knew when it was dark, get in the house. When the lightning bugs are shooting and the lightning bugs are flying, it's time to get in the crib. You know?
Oh, it still applies. My son is 9, and that's his marker, too. Street lights come on. Matter of fact, it'd be even better if you beat them. Come on.
Beat them home.
Yeah. Street lights come on. There's no excuse.
Yes,
your responsibility
indeed.
To watch out for them, and you better be in moments later.
I am so sure that your son is so proud of your accomplishments. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Oh, yes, he is. He says I work too much, though.
Yeah,
yeah,
but those things are, those days
out.
I was going to say, those days are going to change, you watch.
Oh, yeah, that's what I tell him. You know, I got to do it now so we don't have to work as much later.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I constantly give him a little reminder. I like to give him real-life situations. So, you know, as I said, my caretaker, my mother, still isn't in the best position to be a role model in setting the lifestyle or the generational liberation that we need. So I was like, well, you know, do you want me to be doing the same thing your grandmother is doing?
Yes.
He immediately responds, no. I say, so, well, this is what I have to do.
Yes.
You know, so it's just what it is. So, but he loves it. You know, I feel like I don't deserve all the playtime. Give him playtime, allow him to work, build his mind frame, train him.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves it. He enjoys it. He really
does. That's
wonderful. So,
it sounds like you're doing a very positive job in infusing your son with positive outlets so that he can manifest himself in the divine way that we all should, you know. And that's very admirable, sister. It's quite admirable.
Bless you. Thank you. Bless you.
Yeah, well, you know,
yes.
I know it's not easy for single women. And so I always do what I can to support our sisters, especially the ones that are single. But we can talk about that at another time, because that is an issue among into itself. Let's talk about your future plans for dance. Are you going to be making videos, and what are you planning for your dance career?
Well, at this moment, yes, I will be making some instructional videos via YouTube. But
mm-hmm.
I've also found this service online to where I can be able to teach online classes, set up a little classroom, a little studio in the privacy of my home, and invite people in to view me via webcam to instruct them also to cater to people who are in different countries. I've even had a lot of people from India. Can't really say which city they're in India, but just to know that dance is so prominent to them there, and with the Bali there, and other things that they do with
mm-hmm.
the Devadasis and the Daikinis, it is just so thrilling to see them reaching out to me, admiring my style of dance, and wanting me to teach them. I'm like, well, do you know I'm located in the United States? And they're like, okay. So because of that, it's like, I'm like, all right, you know what? Yes.
Yeah,
so
there are
there's
no
a
limitations.
Service that I've, there are no limitations. Absolutely
no,
not.
No.
So
whatever
in the meantime,
you need to,
go ahead.
I was just gonna capitalize it by saying whatever needs to be done shall be done.
That's, say that again. Yes, indeed, and it's getting done.
Yes,
so future plans for dance. That's one of the outlets is to be able to teach instructional dance online, to be able to cater to people who are around the globe. And for my local people here in the Atlanta, Georgia area, I'll be renting studio space in the downtown Decatur area a few nights, two Saturdays out of the month for about 2 hours an evening, to just be able to bring in the talk, the question and answer movement, because it is therapeutic dance. It is meditative. It is healing. So we do give people the opportunity to face their issues, not run from them. You know, we really face them. We work through them, and we work through them with and allow dance and certain bodily movements and the drummers. I actually just met with the drummer about an hour ago. As you were starting the show, we were finishing up our talk. So it's all in divine workings, my brother love and my sister love who are out there. And it's happening. So over the next 2 to 3 weeks, I look forward to having that full-fledged. And, you know, we're expanding. So we're starting in the East Coast and working our way all around.
Yes, yes. Dance is so critical. It is actually healing. That motion, that movement has our blood moving, you know, and our lymphatic system only works upon movement. That's the only system in our body that is stagnant until we move. And dancing is so integral in Africa, so they're healthy. And we used to dance. And, you know, I remember our girls used to jump double dutch all day long.
Yes, I did too. I loved it. I actually missed that. I was just telling a friend, even hula hoop now is something I've taken up. Just taught myself hula hoop a few weeks back.
Yeah, motion is most, it's most important. We cannot stop moving, you know. Briefly, I'll just allude to this. My niece went to the Caribbean last summer, and they wanted some coconut. Excuse me. They wanted a coconut, and there was this gentleman who would climb this tree. The tree was about 85 feet tall, which is almost 9 stories. He would climb the tree, pick out a coconut, and bring it down, and he was 85 years old. Motion.
Wow.
If you stop moving, you stop living. Anyway, you know? So, give us your contact information, how one can get in touch with you. For booking engagements.
Okay. Well, also I like to add on to what you just said, because there's a beautiful African proverb. Many people would say they can't move or they can't dance or dance isn't my thing and all this and that. It's a little excuses we find along the way. But there's a beautiful African proverb that states, if you can talk, you can sing. And if you can walk, you can dance. So we all have the capability of doing it. We all have the capability of moving, dancing, providing motion that can be healing, liberating, freeing, and sensual, spiritual, activating, cosmically traveling, all these different type things that all come into play with certain movements or just even providing movement to your body.
Yes,
so
yes.
I do encourage everyone to dance, even if you don't call it dancing, just get up and move your body. Just feel the earth beneath your feet. Allow your legs to shake and shimmy. Sway your hips. Roll your neck. Just move your body. You won't be disappointed. So, and going forward,
give us your contact information while we are winding down.
Yeah, so you all can find me. The best way to contact me is via email at this point, and that is Tamekia Sweets, T-E-M-E-K-I-A, sweets@gmail.com. You also can find me on Facebook at Tamekia Powell. And I have an upcoming website and a blog, which is on TamekiaPowell.com. If you want to see more videos and hear me talk a little about living in abundance and purifying, go to YouTube. And you can find my channel at Tamekia Sweet also. So I look forward to hearing from you soon. Don't be shy. I love you lots. And thank you, Judada Ra, for this wonderful engagement.
Beloved, we were so thrilled to have you, and we're looking forward to having you again in the future. Would you be agreeable with that in the future?
Yes, I would. Absolutely.
That's great. All right, beloved, we will talk again. You have a pleasant evening, and all to you in the radio land. We would like to let you know that you can take an ad out on this show, and it is quite affordable. Give us a call at 773-414-4711. 773-414-4711.